welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. It is Sunday, July 17th, 2011. Do I sound like a robot there? I wasn't quite in the robot mode, but I was getting there. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo's with me. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello. So, I mean, one thing, I know we didn't talk about this topic. We didn't mention this is a topic we're going to talk about, but all of a sudden, you know, you mentioned it, and I did see a blurb about it, and then I said, well, you know, I guess my question is, why the fuck would anybody be really interested in producing a Sarah Palin documentary? And why would anybody think that people wanted to pay actually good money to go to a fucking movie theater to watch this goddamn thing? I guess that's my question. I mean, I can understand the documentary, you know, one of these, like, being, like, some made-for-TV production, so maybe you put it on some kind of fucking network, and, like, you know, yeah, you know, you'll get some people watching it, you know, whatever, in between, you know, instead of an infomercial. But, I mean, really? I mean, who the hell was going to go to a fucking movie theater to watch this?
Well, you know, Sarah Palin had a pretty big following at one point.
I guess, but even, like, okay, I know a lot of people have had big followings, but even think about this. Who the fuck would go to the theater? I mean, even, like, for example, you know, that Oliver Stone movie about Bush. That didn't sell very well, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that many people would pay to see a Clinton. I mean, Primary Colors, I think, in the theaters didn't do that well either. Okay.
Well, true actual documentaries generally don't do well at the box office.
No one expects them to.
I mean, it's been the rare, exceptional, weird document. Not weird in the weird sense, but in the unusual sense, documentary that actually, like, becomes a success. I mean, what's the last one I can remember? That March of the Penguins thing.
Right.
You know, and then all of a sudden everybody was talking about this penguin movie. And lots of people were going to it. But that's very, very unusual for a documentary. And so I don't think they ever expected this to, like, be, you know, rivaling Harry Potter for, you know, box office revenues or anything. But they expected that it would be an outlet for people who were really excited about Sarah Palin to, you know, come together and show their support and watch the movie and, you know, stuff like that. And if, frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if Palin was using it as one of the measures of, you know, see, you know, how interested are people. And
so, well, let me put it this way. You know, I'm looking about how many people were there. This guy is there at the theater, right? Who's a reporter who went to actually see it just because he's a reporter.
And he's the only
guy
there.
There were two women in there. Right. There were two women there that were there for 20 minutes. And then shortly before the end of the film, a young couple entered, walked to the back row, and started making out. Then interrupted their session and left. So that was pretty – I mean, damn. I mean, that's bad. You know, I mean, bad. I mean, you know, are you really?
Well, I mean, who knows if the theater he went to is representative, you know?
Maybe true. I agree that could be it, but I don't know. There was some other stuff like you picked up from some other places that, I mean, hell, there haven't been, like, nobody's gone out and reviewed it. I mean, nobody's gone out and put any, you know, you get, like, every time a movie comes out, some people go on IMDb and put a couple of ratings, or, like, go to Rotten Tomatoes and put some stuff. So far, the film has received zero user reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, zero. Zero.
Not even anybody saying it sucks. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's not even people saying it sucks. I mean, it's like nobody cares, which I guess is a good thing to a certain extent. I mean, anyway. All right. So, I don't know. So, sorry. I know I broke off topic, but I just thought that was just a little bit, like, you know.
Yeah. Well,
my fucking document. Who the fuck wants to see that, for God's sakes? I don't want to fucking see that.
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, the latest on her is that she said she would make her decision on whether or not to run for president in the fall, basically. Yeah, when the legal deadline started coming up. At the end of the summer, I guess she said. So, you know, we'll see. I stand by my earlier prediction. I don't think she's going to do it. And I think her sort of testing the waters type of activities over the course of the last few months, I think, well, I was going to say if she was rational, but, you know, that's a hard way to start a sentence about Sarah Palin.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Would show her that, you know, hey, look, the interest's not really there. Whatever interest that there was around you has faded over the last couple years. And, you know, the person who's rising right now is Michelle Bachmann, who's taking much of the same audience who would be Sarah Palin supporters.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, but that's also not going anywhere.
Well, yeah, but look, here's the thing with Michelle Bachmann. She's got a lot of the same, she's targeting a lot of the same sort of audience, but unlike Sarah Palin, yeah, I don't agree with the woman on much, but at least on a lot of things she actually has sort of studied up and knows roughly what she's talking about and has some policy experience and blah 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 blah. You know, there's a lot negative to say about her too. I'm just, you know, in contrast to Sarah Palin. You know, she's got, like, tons more experience and tons more knowledge, you know? So we'll see, you know, and, yeah, I don't think Sarah Palin will do it in the end. But, you know, you never know.
I don't think
she's
so either.
Unpredictable. And
I don't think she will either.
And meanwhile, we do have, like, yeah, I was mentioning before we started, there are... There's still a bunch of other people talking about maybe jumping in on the Republican side. And it's just evidence of how weak the field is right now that you still, you have, you know, Rudy Giuliani, for God's sake, is talking about jumping in.
Oh, for God's sakes, Rudy. Oh, you're Rudy. Oh, you God. Oh, you know, this is like, I know, fucking Rudy. I mean, Jesus Christ. Oh, you know, it's like. I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess it's the 10th anniversary of September 11th rolling around. I guess he could probably try to milk some more mileage out of that, I guess. But, you know, that's pretty much it. I mean, I don't know. What the fuck is he going to talk about? I don't know. The last time...
we have Governor Perry of Texas also, you know, apparently thinking about it very strongly. I heard Trump saying...
Jumps up and down and talks about Texas independence, and now he wants to be fucking president of a country he talks about wanting to secede from. I mean, give me a fucking break.
Yeah, and Trump is saying, you know, he could decide to get back in too.
Oh yeah, great, beautiful, more Trump for God's sakes. Let's have more bad hair moments for God's sakes. We don't have enough.
Anyway, none of that was an intended topic. We actually, before we started the show, we decided not to talk about the GOP race today.
What? It's just that you know, we did, but yet at the same time, it's just that, you know, I will admit that I had seen the blurb on the Sarah Palin documentary. I knew that it had performed badly. I just didn't realize how colossally badly. And so I just thought it was amusing, so we could talk about that, so.
So anyway, we do have an agenda. So to briefly talk about what our agenda is for today. First off, just in general, people passing away. Both Yvonne and I have had recent experience with folks we know passing away. Then a little bit about the debt ceiling ongoing stuff. We're finally going to talk about Google Plus. It's been out for the last few weeks, and we have not said a word, but we will now. And finally, there's been a big brouhaha over Netflix raising its prices. Let's start. Before you start, Yvonne, I'll mention. You know, I haven't mentioned on the show or on my blog or anywhere. But a friend of mine passed away just a few weeks ago, and it was, you know, an old friend that I'd spent spent time and email, and it was mostly an online thing, but a number of years back, like more than a decade ago, and it had sort of fallen out of time.
Anybody I know?
Yes, Barb.
Oh, of course.
It would sort of fallen out of touch, but would still exchange emails a few times a year. but found out I got a call from another friend I hadn't talked to forever, saying, "Hey, did you hear? Jay, Barb just passed away," and I hadn't heard. I confirmed it with her husband. She's like 34, 35, somewhere around there, and had a husband and an 8-year-old daughter. She had been ill for quite some time, a number of health problems. I don't know all the details. I don't know what the final situation was. Her husband did tell me that, you know, they had just made arrangements for her to see a new round of specialists, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, it came too late, I guess. And, you know, that's the kind of thing, and, you know, I mentioned when I went to visit my mom, because she was having health issues, you know, a while ago, I mentioned, you know, at some point you'll get the call and everything won't be all right. You know, someone, you know, will have passed away, or there will have been, you know, something that, you know, dramatically changes their life. Or, you know, someday the call will be about you, you know, and unfortunately that's what happens. That's what life is. But especially when it's someone particularly young, or who has a young family or whatever. I mean, you feel, you know, if it's somebody who's had a big long life and, you know, they pass away in their 80s or whatever, then you're like, you know, okay, they had a good long life. But whenever you hear about these things where, you know, young people are taken unexpectedly or even expectedly, but still before their time, you know, it really makes you think a little bit about that kind of stuff. And, you know, a couple years ago, I also had somebody who worked for me, who passed away suddenly and unexpectedly. And it really is, it is quite a shock, whether it's from medical things or car accidents or whatever. You know, so, I mean, in the case of my friend Barb, if her husband is listening, you know, sympathies again for everything. And
myself too. I mean, okay. I met her. I did meet Barb, and, you know, I felt, I mean, I saw the news. I was like, I mean, I was, you know, not I mean, that was shocking to me as well.
Anyway, and Yvonne, you were mentioning someone in your world.
Just, well, what happened is that, unfortunately, I mean, you know, it's kind of funny. I had the discussion with people. I was asking, like, I mean, I didn't realize that. I asked a whole bunch of other managers, like, you ever had an employee pass away on you? And they were like, no. And, you know, you and I have, you know, what apparently is not a very common thing to happen to. Both of us have had employees pass away. You know, and an employee I just hired about 3 months ago. I mean, he wasn't young, but he wasn't old. He's only 52 years old, about to turn 53, and seemingly in good health. He last Friday got ill. He went to the ER, and then after quite a lot of struggle in the hospital in the emergency room, he passed away on Sunday. You know, it's just, I mean, it's just very suddenly. And, you know, so his name, Russ Schultz, is the name. And, you know, he's a good guy. And, I mean, I was like very, you know, distraught about the whole thing this week. Just really didn't expect that to happen. But, I just want to, you know, I mean, you know, I think some people probably know him if they do listen at some point or whatever. I mean, that was just very shocking to me. The guy worked real hard, and I think that I gave him an opportunity in a new job. You know, the guy had moved down here from New Jersey, New York, down here to Florida. You know, was trying to make a change in his life, and for some of the things that he had done hadn't worked quite as, you know, as he had expected. And I'd gotten him a new job, which, I mean, I think that a lot of people said had really reinvigorated him, because it was really like a lot more like the type of work that he was looking for. Has two kids that are in college right now, and unfortunately just lost their father. And you know, I mean, my sympathies to everybody, but it's just, I mean, I, you know, I, hey, you know, we all die. I mean, it is happening. You know, that is the way it is. It's just, it doesn't matter what the heck had happened. I mean, I'm sorry, but to me, it's still, I don't know. We're just, I mean, we don't like it. What do you want me to tell you? I mean, I'm, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know. I feel very sorry for everybody who's directly affected by these things, even as sort of, you know, a person who's, you know, like the, when I lost the employee on my team, you know, it shook up obviously the whole team for a long time. You know, we were feeling that loss for quite some time. In the case of, you know, the friend I lost a couple weeks ago, you know, like I said, I've been less in touch with her in recent years, but still there was an impact to that. Like, oh, wow. You know, I knew she wasn't well, but, you know, and
not that bad.
Yeah,
I know.
And, you know, and it makes you think of things about it, think things through about yourself and your situation and, you know, what would happen if something sudden happened to you and, you know, is your family taken care of, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, in my case, one of the things that I sort of was vaguely aware of, but when I went to see my mom when she was ill, she was going over her family history with her doctor and I was in the room and she mentioned one particular item and her doctor pointed right at me and said, "You make sure that your doctor knows about this." And that's that my grandfather on my mom's side, you know, died suddenly in his 30s, you know, basically a blood clot in the brain kind of thing. You know, he was like 36 or something. And so, okay, I make sure my doctor knew about that. And so far, not doing anything special because of it. But, you know, it's, you know, make sure you're aware and I don't know. But it's like, yeah, I mean, it was the kind of thing where, you know, he was fine and then he suddenly had a big headache and then he was dead, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, so... Okay, you know, I mean, it happens, and completely aside from those kinds of things, I mean, you know, there are car accidents, and, you know, people fall, you know, in the tub, you know, all kinds of things can happen, and, you know, unfortunately, part of life is death, but you all hope for, you know, good, long, you know, healthy lives, but it doesn't always happen.
Yeah. So, all right. Time to take a break.
Yeah, on that cheery note, let's take a break. You know, condolences again to everybody who lost people significant to them in the last few weeks. And we'll be back after this message.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you, so this is a break. This is a wonderful break, a wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, this is a break. Yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, it is a break. And now the break is over.
Boy.
Okay.
Oh, boy. No, I'm just look. Oh boy, I didn't finish watching. Well, you know, I don't know. One thing that I've soccer is a lot more popular. It used to be in the U.S. right now than it used to be, especially down here in South Florida, where there's so many Latin Americans right now. I mean, it's like right now there is a international tournament going on in Argentina called the Copa America, which is a regular tournament. And you know, over here, it's like might as well be the fucking Super Bowl. I mean, you can't go to a freaking place that they don't have this on TV. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so yesterday we were at this you know, talk about a different thing in terms of life. Like my sister's in-laws just were celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary yesterday. Okay, so they had the whole ceremony. We had a party afterwards and whatever. We were at a restaurant, like, you know, having a good celebration. It was really good. And but they had the game on, but I didn't finish watching the game. And so I just saw on Facebook that a lot of my Argentinian friends were like distraught because I guess it went to penalty kicks after overtime and into penalty kicks, and Argentina, who's the hosts, got bounced by Uruguay. You know, one thing I say about this, I mean, you got to remember, Uruguay is so, you know, it's amazing how Uruguay has this many good soccer players, and Uruguay is freaking like tiny country, but I mean, they just bounced one of the biggest freaking countries in the game. I mean, they've actually won the World Cup before, but, you know, but anyway, but down here, it's like, I guess in the rest of the U.S., there are certain towns I know people that keep talking about, and they're looking at it, but I guess the one thing is that I say about how connected a society we are right now, 10, 12 years ago, there's not even a way to, for you to pick up this on TV, you know? Mm-hmm. Right now, Univision has it, like, live on HD, like, and it's broadcast around the country, you know? So, I mean, it's, like, amazing how things have changed in that way, so... So anyway, so I just noticed that. So, all right. So,
what was okay, our next topic? So
our next topic was probably the debt.
Yes, we're
going to go into the debt.
The debt ceiling again. We've been talking about. This
I know
every
that
week for
Sam
the last...
hates this topic.
Well, it's not that I hate this topic.
But
I mean, it's an interesting news event. It's just like once you get into the grinding details of it, I'm like,
my eyes start glazing over. Right. So let's talk about something more interesting, which is the super coin.
The super coin.
Right, so what are we? Yes, I don't. I'm still like, I read it, and I'm still like, huh? So why don't you illuminate us a little bit?
I will give the basic idea of this as far as I understand it, but then Yvonne's going to have to get into more detail. But basically, the bottom line of this is, look, you know, in terms of defaulting on the debt, there's a fundamental situation here. The U.S. owes debt in dollars. The U.S.
Correct.
Has control over the supply of dollars. So in any question where we are potentially talking about defaulting, there is absolutely no reason that the U.S. can't just create more dollars and pay the debt. Now, the usual way that people talk about, printing money is not actually printing money. It's that the government essentially buys stuff with money that doesn't exist. And then boom, that creates
money. That's correct. Yes. They go out and they're like, they'll go on the open market and they'll buy stuff and then put more dollars out there in the economy.
Right. Now that's the normal way. Like people think about printing money. They think about actually printing money, but that's just typically not the way it usually happens. However, it looks like there may be some things with this whole debt limit thing that constrain that way that it's usually done. The Fed can't just go out and buy whatever and create money the way they usually do. However, there's also and this is another one of the weird things, like, there's creating money through these weird things that the Fed does. There's actually printing paper money, which is done a slightly different way. And then there's coinage, which is done by the Mint, which is done by yet another agency with yet other different authorities. So apparently there was a law created last decade or whatever, authorizing the Mint to create platinum coins in whatever denomination they wanted. Now the intention of these was the collectible coin market, the little platinum $100 US coin or whatever, and people would buy it and hoard it and resell it and all that kind of crap.
And the thing is that collectible coins are pretty profitable. I mean, you know, there is a big market out there. People like to collect coins. They like to get the bullion, have interesting designs, limited editions, that kind of stuff. And yeah, so people go and there's a good market for it, and there's been a very good market for a while. And so the idea, I believe at the time with the law, was to allow the Mint to print more coins to sell to generate more profit for the Treasury.
So now apparently there's no upper limit on this. The Mint can do as much as they want in whatever denominations they want. So you got people talking about, just make a $2 trillion coin, and then boom, you've got the money to pay off your debt. And completely solve the problem this way. Now,
but who do we give this coin to? So we go to the Federal Reserve Bank and we deposit this. Oh, look, I got this $2 trillion coin. Here you go.
No,
I think
I think that's exactly the mechanism that would happen is you would print the mint the $2 trillion coin, and then you would deposit it in the Federal Reserve. And boom, now you have the money to pay all the outstanding interest, all the other bills the federal government has, done.
Okay, this is an interesting approach. Now, the only thing is, look, here's
now this would have an inflationary effect, I would imagine.
Exactly, that's the whole point. I mean, you know, guys. I mean, you know.
Well, but this is a critical item that I think has been being passed by in most of this debt debate, is that, you know, honestly, especially with, you know, the debt shall not be questioned part of the Constitution. What should be at stake here is not default. There should be no circumstance under which the government actually defaults on the interest of the debt, or for that matter, stops paying off the things that they need to pay off. The consequence, if this doesn't happen, should be, you know, a horrible inflation thing where the government has to do something like this. But again, because we control the supply of dollars and the debt is in dollars, there should be absolutely no question about not paying anything.
Well, here's the thing. Now, because here's the thing. Normally, the U.S. Mint is not the one that really – the supply of coins, of actual money in coins out there, is really quite small.
Yes,
okay?
It is.
All right? In terms of the dollar amount, okay?
Yes.
So the U.S. Mint is not charged with controlling really the money supply.
Right.
Okay? It's really the Federal Reserve – you know, not them. And the Federal Reserve is independent, okay?
Right.
And their guidelines are different. It's just not like, you know, I mean, even though Ben Bernanke, I guess if he chooses to do this, could do this, but the reality is that he doesn't directly respond to the president.
Well, no, but the whole point of this is the Mint isn't under them. The Mint is in a different branch. The president can do this without him.
The Mint is under the Treasury. Oh, you're right. I know that the Mint is under the Treasury. My point is that normally the U.S. Mint doesn't control the money supply.
Yes.
I mean, normally it's the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve, like Ben Bernanke, just doesn't go and decide to go over, hey, fire up the presses, baby! Fuck! You know, I mean, as a matter of fact, I mean, they did inflate some of the money supply recently, but they actually been actively trying to reduce it.
Yes.
Okay?
Which a lot of, which some folks have said, you know, inflation is actually too low. It should be a little higher to help, you know, the situation.
Right. But. And so I mean, there's a lot of people arguing about that. So I it's just that this whole thing about creating the I mean, while in theory could be done, I'm just a little bit like I just don't think it's such a good idea.
Well, I mean, look, the answer is absent an actual raise of this limit, every possibility out there sucks in some way. Yeah,
I agree, because one of the big possibilities is just, you know, at some point, I mean, let's face it. I mean, the government just has to shut down huge parts of itself.
Yeah, we're talking either the government shuts down huge parts of itself, and in order to, like, actually pay all the debt, it's, like, basically everything else, right? I mean, because the interest payments are, what, 40% or something?
It's about 30%, and then if you add just the Social Security entitlement and the other stuff, then you're done. You're out. You're out of cash. That's it. Done.
Yeah. So either shut down major portions of the government, or you default on some of the debt. Or you do some kind of trick like this. I mean, and the bottom line is, you know, all of these would be painful in some significant way. All of these would cause, you know, economic chaos of some sort.
And despite the fact that any of the stupid punk ass fucking new Republicans think, it won't be so bad.
No,
it won't be so bad.
I said this before, like. There is some, I don't think that it would be this bad, but there's also some, it maybe really would suck, but it's okay if it really would suck and it would be really horrible and the economy went into a tailspin, because that would hurt Obama.
I really think that these guys are fucking delusionary. If they don't do anything, honestly, the polling seems to indicate that, you know what, they're going to get the blame for it. Okay, I mean, because that's one of the things I was looking at. 80% of Americans, 80% of Americans right now believe.
Here's the thing.
Believe.
Go ahead.
But listen, the stat is that 80% of Americans believe that some increase in taxes, okay, is reasonable in order to cut the deficit. Okay, 80%. Okay, only fucking 20% of the people believe that no taxes is a reasonable way of getting out of this problem. So, right. So let's let the fucking fringe of this country control the whole fucking thing. It just basically paralyzed the whole fucking country. Because, by the way, another thing that they were saying, forget about this. This is – if the federal government has to cut back on money that way, it's going to actually have a direct domino effect on all the states at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they said that pretty much a lot of states are going to have to also fucking shut down big parts of a state government as well.
Indeed.
And, you know, if they think that that's not going to have a huge impact, and if they think that they're not going to get any blame for it, especially when you go out and you show to them that the fact that, you know, hey, you've got the president and everybody over there with a deal that's 85-15, and you fucking say this is no way, and you think you're not going to get blamed for it, let me tell you something. They're really fucking delusionary, okay?
Well, you know, I think it's probably one of those things, though, where – you know, it could I think it's actually very chaotic in terms of if this came to pass and we went into a major economic downward spiral due to the inability to come to a deal on this. Nobody comes out of it like roses. Maybe the president comes out a little bit better than the congressional Republicans. I don't know. But I think it ends up as a throw all the bums out movement. You know, everybody's screwed. And then the question is, like, you know, I mean, this is the perfect scenario where you could get a third party coming in and actually be competitive for the presidency under this kind of scenario, because everybody would be so pissed at, you know, everybody involved. I have no fucking clue. I don't know who could come in. I honestly don't know. There's nobody, like, standing out there right now as, you know, hey, Sarah Palin. There you go.
Sarah.
I don't know, Sarah. But I mean, it make things very chaotic because all the Republicans would need to do is nominate somebody who wasn't directly involved in the debacle, and then they could potentially, you know, say I hear you on what the congressional Republicans did, but I never supported them. They're a little crazy, and the president, you know, didn't help here either, and so vote for me.
Well, I'll tell you what. I know that as the deadline continues to get closer, I mean, you know, I do believe that negotiations are going to keep going.
Well,
and going.
I continue to take the line that a deal will be made, and frankly,
I think the deal will be made.
And frankly,
as well,
and you know, they were talking this week about that whole. The McConnell proposal to basically give the president the authority to do it without Congress, or it was actually more complicated than that. It's structured in such a way that the president would have to propose it, and it would go through unless Congress disapproved, knowing that Congress was not set up in a way that the disapproval would work. But it would give it would make the president the bad guy. In terms of he would be the one who would have to actually say, I want the debt limit increased. And then it would give all the Republicans the opportunity to say, we don't want that to happen without any possibility of actually stopping it.
But that, you know, to me is the most ridiculous proposal like ever. I mean, that would like took the cake for me. Talk about abdicating all responsibility whatsoever.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've talked before about presidential power and Congress basically not wanting to actually make the decisions. Bingo.
This takes the cake. My God. I am like, you know, take your fucking, you know, to perform your goddamn fucking responsibility. For God's sakes. Don't go and write a bill to completely abdicate it.
Yeah. You know, and look, if push comes to shove too, I mean, I think we'd get a bit of a constitutional crisis out of it, but like I could see Obama, like if they refuse to increase the debt limit, I could see Obama playing that 14th Amendment card or doing something else and saying, you know, Congress has abdicated its constitutional duties. It is my responsibility to you know meet the obligations of the U.S. government. I'm going to borrow anyway. Even though Congress said not to, and then let them impeach me, you know?
I guess. I mean, that, I mean that is an option, obviously. I mean, you know,
and how would that play out? Let's put it this way: like, Congress doesn't raise the debt limit. Obama decides to go ahead and borrow anyway. There is no one apparently that has, at least the speculation is, no one really has standing to sue. Or otherwise take this to court and, you know, force the Supreme Court to make a decision. And even if they did, historically, the Supreme Court has shown a lot of reluctance to get into those issues and has basically said that the Congress and the president have to work it out amongst themselves. So the only...
And nobody in Congress has the ability also to repudiate the debt that's issued anyway.
Right. And so the only option that would be available would be the impeachment option. Right. And the Republican Congress might well be able to, you know, get an impeachment through. Maybe not. It might be close. I don't know about the exact logistics there. But let's imagine that the House did get that through. The Senate is still democratically controlled, and the Senate does the trial.
Yeah, that's it.
And so,
game
you know,
over.
Yeah, they'd impeach, and we'd have the same scenario we had with Clinton, which was then he'd be what you call it? Found innocent. What's the right word? Anyway,
not guilty. Whatever.
Whatever. He'd get off in the Senate, and that would be it.
Yeah, he'd get off.
But we would have a major political circus around this for like a year.
And Sam would be enjoying every minute of it.
That's right. Indeed, I would. You know, and you'd get interesting things like, you know, the last time we had an impeachment, you know, the trial
is only fucking 10 years ago, for God's sakes.
The trial is done in the Senate, but presided over by the Chief Justice. Now, the last Chief Justice Rehnquist, he'd actually studied the previous impeachment of President Johnson or whatever right after the Civil War. But he decided that the right way to preside over such things is basically to be basically only the routine. Okay, it's your turn to talk. It's your turn to talk. It's your turn to talk. Not actually do anything. You know who knows what John Roberts would do, and maybe he'd be like, you know, I'm going to rule things out of order, and I'm going to like try to affect the result here. And I don't know, probably not. But you know, it could get fun. It's one of those scenarios that's just like, you know, what happens if the Electoral College, the people in the Electoral College actually have to make decisions rather than just voting the way their states voted, you know, that are just like, ooh, that would be fun. But and also complete and total chaos. But, you know, that's what makes it fun. Anyway, I think it's time for a break. Let's take a break.
Yes, I think it's time for a break.
As I cackle about, you know, all sorts of interesting scenarios when you get into constitutional oddities. We'll be back after the... Oh, I should mention, we're about to do the poem of the week. Reb Livingston, who we had on the show a few weeks ago and who's one of the proprietors of No-Tell Motel, announced this week that No-Tell Motel will be closing its doors in a couple months in October. So enjoy your poems of the week, because we're only going to have them for a few more months. After October, no more poems of the week from No-Tell Motel, because No-Tell Motel is shutting down so that she can move on to other projects. In any case, with that in mind, enjoy this week's poem. Here you go.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by No-Tell Motel.
13. Omnibus Jaunts and Drivers by Joshua Ware. I avenue, avenues specifically. Nighttime, avenues listening. For Tippy, Pop Broadway. Jack Yellow, Joe Strangers.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, we're back. Google Plus.
Google Plus. You know, I guess the reason why this week I got interested in it is something about it being a sausage factory or something along those lines. what do they refer to?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you saw this about the fact that apparently that the population was like, they had a picture of all these men in a hot tub and says, and the caption was like, meanwhile at Google Plus. And so it was like, and I guess the reason was apparently because some surveys that came out at the beginning showed that 90% of the people on Google Plus were male.
Although apparently that's changing.
Yes, yes, yes. There's other information that showed that that's changing. What I said was just that little blurb is what attracted my attention to it. I thought it was a little bit amusing. But, you know, aside from that, I mean, I was reading a couple of stuff and reading some reviews. And I guess that one of the guys was talking like, no. But I guess one of the things that was being mentioned is that Google was talking like social networking didn't exist. Okay, like when they were talking about it, it's like, well, you know what? We've discovered that it's difficult for people to communicate socially and whatever and whatnot and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the reviewer was saying, fuck. I mean, isn't that what Facebook's been doing the last couple of years? Isn't that like why some people are talking about that Facebook is kind of like subsuming the internet? You know, how people are spending like 90%, you know, like inordinate amounts of their web surfing time, like, you know, actually looking at the, you know, reading the internet, blah, blah, you know, reading Facebook instead of actually going on other sites. So, you know, I guess that's, you know, that's the thing about that. I mean, I saw it. I mean, the features, I mean, it looks like Facebook 1.0. I mean, I don't know.
Well, there are a few things. First of all, I just sent you an invite, Yvonne. But
oh, Lord. Really?
Yeah. So you can check
all
it out
right,
and know what you're talking
me.
About.
All right. I'll get on the
so,
fucking
So people
thing.
Do talk That's about, it. Like, it is a stripped-down Facebook, but people talk about that in a good way in terms of, like, getting rid of all the cruft and the extra crap and getting back to what you really want to see. Like, you want to see your friends' stuff. You don't want to see all this crap from Farmville and, you know, all the ads around the corners, although it's only a matter of time until Google ads.
I will say one thing, that right now, for example, I mean, I have absolutely no applications running on my Facebook.
Yeah.
I got rid of all of them. No Farmville, no this, no that, no nothing. Okay? And I did that purposely because, I mean, you know, their privacy policy and how the applications did with your data and everything, to me, at Facebook, is creepy. Okay? And I said, fuck this shit. I am not using any of this crap. Period.
Right. So, now here's the one thing that everybody is like, the big buzz about what Google's done, that Facebook, there was a way to do it, but it's complicated and buried, you know, but it's core to Google Plus is the whole concept of circles. Where instead of just having
I saw the circle thing.
Instead of having one big undifferentiated mass of friends, you have categories, and you can make as many categories as you want. So you have your friends,
well,
you have your family.
I've been creating some categories of friends inside my Facebook.
Well, right.
I actually separated a category that's for family, for example.
Like I said, it's possible. It's just it takes a little bit more work. And then whenever you're posting something, making sure that only certain people see it is hard.
Right.
In Google Plus, it's core center. Every time you add somebody, you tell it what circles you want them to be in. And every time you post something, you tell it what circles you want it to be posted to. Also, these are asymmetrical and the other people don't know it. So, for instance, you can make a circle called People I Don't Give a Shit About and put lots of people in it. And
I actually would like a circle like that, to be honest with you. That way, you know, like right now, I keep, you know, I get these people, okay, that keep asking me for friends requests that I keep turning down, okay, all right? I mean, I couldn't give a flying rat's ass if they think I'm the world's biggest asshole. Because let's face it, I haven't talked to these jerk-offs since I was in high school, for God's sakes. Why the fuck do I want them to know what the hell I'm doing now? I haven't been interested in them knowing about it since then. And here's the other thing. I mean, I actually have some people that I have friended that I talk on a regular basis. However, I realized as I saw their posts and some of their stuff that they're annoying fuckheads. Okay? So, and I'm just like, every time they put a post, I wanted to just go and fucking, like, just throw my fucking tablet across the room. Okay? All right? So I've actually blocked their posts, so I don't see them anymore. And I actually figured out after a lot of tinkering, oh, I can make them so they don't see what I post, so they don't make a stupid comment about it. Fuck it. Fine. Great. A fucking gut. Done. Get them off. I don't want them to, you know, I don't want them to, you know, I want them to have my contact information. It's okay if they actually look at my pictures and find out about my family because they do know my family and whatever, because I actually interact with this guy occasionally. But you know what? He doesn't need to know everything I'm doing.
Well, and
so I did that.
And this is the whole thing on Google Plus, is it makes all this stuff easy. Like, instead of something, like you said, you had to do a whole bunch of tinkering and figure out how to do it. This makes it, like, core to the very center of the experience is relationships are asymmetric. So you can follow someone without them following you. You know, you can when you post something, post it only to certain groups that you care about. You can make new groups whenever you like. You can delete groups. You can move people between groups, all of that kind of stuff. And that's sort of like core to the experience. Also, you know, and it is a stripped down sort of, it's nice how it's structured. Now, I'll tell you, there are a couple of, let's divide this into two areas. There are a couple of things that are missing before I'm really going to use this on a regular basis in the place of Facebook or other things. And by the way, they're targeting Facebook, but they're also targeting Twitter because of the notion that you can put, like, you know, celebrities or whatever in your circles asymmetrically and sort of follow them and get comments. So that,
I mean, I know
what you think about that.
No. Okay. I still, let me tell you something. I still can't get wrapped around Twitter. The other day, for some reason, I got an invite. I got a notice. I forgot that I set up a Twitter account a long time ago. Okay. And then, but here's a kicker about this. I get somebody who goes and, like, fucking decides to follow me on Twitter.
Right.
Now, I have never posted anything on my Twitter account. Ever.
Yeah.
Okay. And I get some random person saying that they want to follow me on Twitter, and I'm like, "Oh, what the fuck? I mean, really? Really? What the hell are these people doing? How the hell they find me, and why the fuck do they want to follow me in the first place?"
Well, I'll tell you, there are a lot of, like, spammer type people out there who like do that, and then you go to their site, and it turns out they're just, like, you know, a bunch of porn links or whatever. I've also seen...
That's probably what it was. Yeah.
I've also seen legitimate businesses here. Like, I have, like, a couple coffee shops that are within 5 miles of my house have followed me. And, you know, presumably they want me to follow them back because they're Twittering things about, like, you know, come in with code whatever and get a free latte or whatever. But for the most part,
isn't that,
I haven't,
like, it's just a fucking
them.
Information overload. I mean, really, getting all these fucking tweets from all these fucking people. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, I don't get it.
I'll tell you, that is a danger. Like, you know, I'm following a bunch of people on Twitter now, and I do get, like, some interesting news that way. It's sort of like I actually look at it now often before I look at my my Google Reader with my news feeds, because I'm following a number of, like, reporters and other people like that who will sometimes, you know, post links to their stories. And because at first I was subscribed to a lot fewer and more selectively than I was in my Google Reader, I would see things first there, and there was a lot less to wade through. But over time, I've subscribed to a bunch more. The volume is a lot higher, and, you know, and frankly, the same thing on my Google Reader. And both have gotten to the point of information overload where I can't keep up anymore. So I think it's about time for a purge, where, you know, I kill a lot of feeds I'm reading on both platforms to bring things under control again.
Well, it's the same problem that you were mentioning. I know that you mentioned with your email. I noticed you mentioned, like, recently that basically your email had gotten so out of control that you basically have had to now stop and, like, just, you know what, filter any email that is just people that you have their email addresses from, or otherwise just, you know, you don't want it anymore because it's just out of control.
Yeah, well, it's just it's the same sort of, email is a slightly different problem because a lot of it's spam. But, you know, with these other,
even, like, at Twitter, you started getting spam, and, like, on all these other fucking places.
That's true, but, like, on this, the problem for me is not Twitter spam. It's like you know, I follow a lot of people I'm interested in, and same thing with Google Reader. I read, it's a lot of feeds I'm interested in, and if I look at each one, I'm like, yeah, I want to know when that person posts because they post good stuff, but add it all up together and it's way too much. I can't keep up. And I, you know, and on the one hand, you know, a lot of people sort of take the attitude of that's okay, don't worry about keeping up. It's just something that when you have a few minutes, you dip into it and you see what's new and you don't worry about quote unquote keeping up. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, I'd much rather have a slower feed with less stuff going on, but is really only the best stuff that I really want to have. So, like I said, probably time
to
purge.
It's a lot of data, and it's not information. That's the problem. It's the same problem that you get in almost everything, you know? I mean, I remember, like, you know, this goes back to, I mean, I'll go back, like, a long time. When we first started, like, implementing, you know, computer information systems at companies, and all of a sudden you were able to – I mean, I was able to, for example, in the businesses, to generate – it used to be that in order to get any data for something, it was impossible. It's like, well, I want to measure this, or I want – you know, I want to measure the average, the average transaction – dollar transaction size at the cash register. Just think of an example. Well – I mean, that takes a lot of data, but collecting the data in the days of, like, for example, that the only way you could get the data was in a little roll of paper tape inside a cash register, well, made it fucking virtually impossible to do that on a consistent basis. Well, you know, you get a computer, it's connected to, you know, you get a cash register connected to the computer, the computer stores all this data. Well, all of a sudden, instead of, like, you know, having to do that, you get the stream of data in an organized database, and you could go and tell it, run this calculation, voila, I get information. But the problem is, like, I mean, but you see, imagine, you know, but it's, but you see, I had to filter the data in order to get information. What happens is that, you know, right now, what you're getting is, like, you're getting, like, the fucking cash register receipts that I was getting, for God's sakes. That's what you're getting. It's like, boom, boom, boom. Somebody has a thought. Somebody has a desk. Something happens. Boom, boom, boom. No analysis, no nothing. It's just a fucking stream of data from all these fucking different people. And it, like, it gets to a point where you're like, my God, it's a cacophony of noise. It's like, how the hell do you figure out what the fuck's important or not, for God's sakes? I that's how I feel. I mean, myself. It's like, I mean, I got to a point recently that actually it's gone down because I hired a couple of people to actually, you know, to actually do work for me because I lost a couple of people. I got to a point when a couple of my employees quit and, like, or left or other jobs or whatever, that I was getting, like, up to 400 or 500 emails a day. I mean, 400 or 500 emails a day. I'm talking about having to take also phone calls, being out in the field, visiting a customer, doing this and doing that. And fuck, getting 400 or 500 emails a day. I mean, and a lot of it, the problem was, a lot of fucking morons CCing me on shit that I couldn't care less. But how the hell do I know what is real and what isn't if I don't go look through every fucking message at some point? You know, I don't know. I just feel like right now it's like we've gone this flood of data and it's just gotten – we just made it worse. Even worse every time.
Perhaps.
I don't know.
Perhaps. I mean, it is all about managing it and making sure that what comes into you – like I said, there are two approaches. You either have the whole stream of stuff and don't even worry about, like, sort of keeping up with it, catching every bit of it, and you just sort of dip into it every once in a while to get the flavor. That's mode A. Mode B is make sure you're really only getting the stuff that you're really the most interested in, and that involves very selective pruning and deciding, you know, which things do I really, really want to follow? Which, like, you know, like on the Facebook or Google Plus kind of thing, which friends do I really want to know what's going on with them? You know, which ones?
Fuck, I'm on Google Plus. I'm on.
There you go. So,
Lord.
Everybody out, Yvonne, to your circles. Yes.
There you go. Samuel Minter added you on Google Plus. Here we go.
There you go.
I'm assuming our mutual friend has got to be in there, so I guess I got to send him an invite, for God's sakes.
So, here we go. I don't
invite
know.
People to
join. Yeah, so us. Anyway.
There we go. Well, fuck, I don't know. I got to look at his email.
Anyway, the other thing I wanted to mention about Google Plus before moving on is one of the things that it isn't fully set up yet, I don't think, but is an obvious for them, although there's some privacy squeamishness about this, is given that they have Gmail, they can start making suggestions for you from Google Plus if you use Gmail. Of, you know, various people you're communicating with, how they might be related in circles. They've just got a wealth of data they could mine out of Gmail users to figure out the relationships with people, make suggestions here and there, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so we'll see how it goes. I think...
Well, since I don't have fucking Gmail, it doesn't really fucking matter anyway, so whatever. There we go.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing with all of this is... You know, people are talking about Google Plus has attacked the one area that Facebook has always been weakest at, which is people's feelings that they didn't have enough control. Well, not email. People didn't have enough control over their privacy and who they were sharing with and all of that kind of stuff. And that's sort of the core element that Google Plus has worked to try to get right is giving you extremely fine-grained control over... You know, I want to share this with these people and not those people, and I want these groups that work in this way, and making that a core element of it to try to make sure that you know exactly who you're sharing with, and you have control over that. And so we'll see. You know, will there be a mass migration from Facebook to here? I don't know. There's a lot of inertia there. But on the other hand, you know, I've seen reports of like people changing their avatars in Facebook to like, you know, Google Plus, you know.
Well, the other thing I noticed. Well, by the way, the other thing that I noticed was there was a blurb today that I don't know, Facebook was blocking Google Plus ads or like people like asking you to follow them on Google Plus or stuff.
I did see that report. You know, and so we'll see how that goes. It'll be interesting. I mean, this is certainly a space where it's good to have some competition going on, and also just we've had the conversation before about how long these things last, and people saying, well, Facebook, it's the new thing, it'll be around forever. You know, there was Friendster, there was MySpace, there was this, there was that, you know. These things come and go. It's in the nature of the business. They're somewhat fatty. You know, people jump in, they get it, and then something new or better or shinier comes along and people move. And the old place isn't cool anymore, you know. And so, you know, Facebook does have a lot of momentum and a lot of people, so it may... Yeah, they may take a while to fade, but, you know, does anybody really believe we'll all be going to Facebook in 20 years? No, there's going to be something
probably
new and different.
Not. I mean, look at what happened like 5 years ago, the surge in MySpace and how just as quickly it collapsed.
Right.
Okay.
I don't know. There's some things that are capable of lasting that long, and maybe Facebook is one of them. But maybe not. I mean, same thing with Google and search. I mean, people have thought about that being unassailable. Well, guess what? Eventually,
I've been using Bing lately a lot more than I gave thought that I ever would. To be honest with you,
exactly. I mean, at some point, something different comes along and people try it, and I don't know whether Bing will replace Google. I don't know if Google Plus will replace Facebook.
I don't know if it will, but I will tell you this, that there was a couple of things for which search results, and I kept looking for some information in Google, and I kept not getting it. I kept not getting what I was looking for, and I went to Bing, and it gave me what I was looking for. And well, I went, well,
My point is just that these kinds of things, and companies in general, for that matter, come and go. The odd exceptional thing that actually sticks around for many decades. Most of these
I went on my rant a few weeks ago about IBM and reaching 100, you know, plus 100. I mean, that is just that is an incredibly remarkable feat, okay, that they managed to do in a technology business. Just, you know, doesn't happen. So,
yep. Okay. Right. Time for another break. And then we'll talk quickly about Netflix and then wrap it up for the day. So we'll be back after this exciting message.
Ready for the test, Dracula?
I'm ready, Frankenstein. Then let us begin.
Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
And we are back.
We are back. Okay. All right. So you got a notice that you were not happy about.
Well, no, I actually don't give a shit.
I guess you don't give a shit.
I'll be honest.
Like, or a lot of people, I guess.
A lot of people. So what happened this week? Netflix announced new pricing plans that basically. Yeah, the long and short of it is it makes it more expensive if you want physical discs mailed to you. They're trying to push people faster into their streaming service. Now, Netflix streaming has been very popular. It's got a lot of stuff going on for it. I've used it a couple times. It's cool. But, you know, a lot of people are still hanging on to their discs, and I'll raise my hand. That includes me. You know, because I'll be honest, like, my streaming experience is not awesome for me. Like, my particular internet connection is taxed to its limit. You know, it would probably be a fine internet connection if we had, like, one computer hooked up to it. But we've got, you know, 3 to 4 computers, several iPhones, several TiVo devices. I've got automated backups going back and forth up the line. I've got other things going. And between everything, it's taxed. So streaming...
Maybe you should get a T1?
Maybe. But so streaming... yeah, like, which is probably actually slower than what I have. But yeah.
You really think so?
T1s were a long time ago. You know...
Yeah, but...
Technology has moved on. Anyway, I don't know. Anyway, in any case... There's certainly faster options out there. But
okay.
In my case, streaming is a sort of, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You get buffering. It's kind of, who knows? And even when streaming works perfectly, it's still not as good and nice a resolution as like a Blu-ray. It's probably as good as a DVD. But you know, so, you know, And there's a lot available on disk that isn't available streaming yet. And, you know, I like the way I set up queues and stuff like that and other things that are unique to me being a geek. But in any case, a lot of people still want their disks. But Netflix makes more money on streaming. And Netflix, there's a lot of cost overhead associated with mailing and sorting and dealing with the physical discs, replacing them when they get scratched, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so Netflix wants people to stream. So they changed their pricing plan to, you know, cost people more money who want physical discs. Now, for the average user, for an average user who previously was doing both streaming and discs, this is like another $6 to $10 a month or something like that. And so a lot of people are up in arms and are like, oh my God, this is awful. Netflix is screwing us all, blah, 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 blah. You know, I look at it, you know, and a couple people pointed out, this isn't just me, but like, come on, compare this to where you were a few years ago. You know, and if you wanted to rent a movie, you'd go down to your local Blockbuster or whatever. And
if you kept it an extra week, it'd cost you like $30.
Yeah.
It was stupid.
And you'd either have some sort of you'd have some membership fee, which was probably higher than what Netflix is anyway, or you'd be paying per rental for like, you know, several bucks per movie. Whereas Netflix is like, okay, you pay this amount and okay, it's higher than it was. And you can have like X number of movies at home at any time. You keep them as long as you want. You ship them back when you're done with them. You know, overall, it's still a good deal. You know, I mean, and I understand people's expectations are changing, but my God, you know, it's a couple bucks a month. You know, get over it. And if you really don't like it, cancel the service and do something else. You know, which probably they wouldn't mind if you did. You know, they don't want to be sending out those little discs anyway.
Right.
You know, so Yeah, if you really think you have a better alternative, take the better alternative. I
think the Netflix, the way that it is, it's a good deal. Okay. And I think that the people that are complaining, are people that, it's just that. Let's face it. So many people are used to lately. They want. They paying for something is just outrageous on the internet. That's the problem. We've created this whole entire fucking society of people who believe that they're entitled to everything for fucking free.
Well,
and it just doesn't work that way.
I'll tell you along those lines. This last week, there's a TV show that I TiVo, and for whatever reason, my TiVo got full and it didn't record a couple episodes. And I'll be honest, normally when this happens, I would go and, grab the missing episodes off the internet in ways that did not necessarily give revenue to the producers. Because I'm like, I watched the show anyway, blah, 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 whatever. I made excuses.
It's a free television show. Why the hell, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So this time I was like, my TiVo's integrated with a couple of online vendors that have this stuff. And I'll tell you, I've always been, I mentioned this on a show before. I've been reluctant to buy stuff on my computer in terms of video because they're large files. And I sort of have this feeling like after I've bought it, I feel really reluctant to delete it because my God, I bought it. And I feel reluctant to rent it because all the rental stuff has all this bogus, you have to watch it within this amount of time or it disappears. And I'm like, that's bullshit too. So I haven't done that, but I could actually, buy the stuff directly on my TiVo. And somehow I don't have the same compulsion about the deleting the file on the TiVo. Also knowing that in this case, once you bought it, you can re-download it whenever you want. For free once you bought it the first time. So I'm like, okay.
Well, I guess now they're allowing that in iTunes as well, right? That you can buy it, you could delete, you could re-download, they're allowing that too.
Yeah, so. Which I think changes the equation somewhat to me because I know that even if I delete it, I still have access to it. I've bought the permanent access to it. Now, I suppose not entirely permanent. If Apple or Amazon or whoever goes out of business, then you're screwed. Or maybe their licensing stuff changes and it becomes unavailable for that reason, too. I don't know. So there are still downsides. But I was like, I'll try it. So I actually downloaded a couple episodes and paid, $2.99 each for the HD versions of a couple episodes. And I watched them. It worked great. And, I'm out a few bucks. But I'm like, okay, I can be out a few bucks. The $4 isn't going to kill me. And I'll do it legit if it's available legit. I don't know. There's still some annoyances about it, but when you make it easy enough, and I think this is a key to all these services, and we talked about this in terms of music before, but if you make it easy enough and cheap enough, then there's no reason to go out and pirate stuff. But if you make it a pain in the ass to get your stuff, then, the free alternative gets very compelling.
Yeah. I agree. Totally agree.
So,
I've been like, I'm a guy who, here's the one thing. I hated renting. Even like when videotapes were out, I'm like, I'm not the guy to go to Blockbuster to get a fucking thing. Like, I don't want to go over there to fucking pick a movie. So, I was also a guy that had satellite TV and or DirecTV or something. And I would have every fucking channel that was available. And I'm like, God damn it, if I've got 50 freaking subscription movie channels, I'm going to find a movie I like for the most part. Okay. Yeah. All right. And usually that's worked for me. Now, my wife was one that came from a model that she liked to get movies, but my God, I'm like, she is just as bad as I am of going to a store and going picking up something. So look, ever since we've had Apple TV, I'm sorry, but I've got no problem with going at night. Oh, well, we can't find anything on DirecTV. Okay, so let's go. Let's see what's on demand available. Oh, look, that movie looks good. It came out. Let's rent it. Let's watch it. Boom. Done.
Yep.
I'm like, you know, and my internet connection is fast enough that usually, even though I don't get those movies usually on HD because it's too slow, but even with the, you know, with the standard definition download, with the up conversion, it's a decent look. It looks pretty decent on the TV from the Apple TV, and I'll be happy as a clam, and we'll get the movie, and we'll watch it, and we're done.
Yeah. So, I don't know. To wrap up the Netflix thing, I think people are bitching over, you know, come on. It's a couple bucks. It's understandable. Prices change over time. They often go up over time. You know, if you don't like it, go do something else. You know, and I guess a lot of people are. They're like, oh, I'm going to use Redbox now. Yeah, screw that. You know, Redbox has all the same problems you're talking about. You have to go somewhere to get your damn movie.
Right.
And limited selection, blah, 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 blah. You know, am I going to be watching more and more and more streaming over time? Damn right I will be. But there are still some things where the discs are good, are better for one reason or another, either availability or picture quality or whatever. And so I'll still be getting physical discs for some things too. But yeah, I mean, certainly the inevitable future is that physical media is going away. It will be gone completely. Yeah, it's just a question of how long it'll take for it to be gone completely. And, you know, so all the people betting on Blu-ray are like, oh, crap, nobody's buying our Blu-rays. Well, you know, you know, you could have seen this coming, you know. You're shit out of luck. The future is streaming. The future is online downloads of various sorts, whether it be streaming or download or whatever. It's just a matter of time till things move there. Same thing for, you know, every other media. If you base your business on moving physical crap around, if it's
you're fucked.
Yeah. To be clear, I'm talking about physical crap that's like music, video, stuff you read, all of that
shit
kind of
that
stuff.
Get delivered on a download. I mean, basically, yeah, I mean, you're fucked.
You're still not fucked if you're making refrigerators, but you know, give it time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still not quite sure how we're going to be able to download a refrigerator over the internet, but hey, you know, anything's possible.
3D printers are getting better and better and cheaper every day.
Okay,
I'm just saying.
But that's just an image of the refrigerator, not really exactly like an actual refrigerator.
The technology will be there because right now those 3D printers
nanotechnology.
Well, right now the 3D printers, you know, typically will print something out of one material. It'll be plastic or metal or whatever. But all you need is just like you have different colors on an inkjet printer. If you could print different materials, then all of a sudden you can build a lot more complicated things and you can build devices. Give it time. It may take another 20, 30 years, but, you know, you will get to the point where you'll have a little household printer where you can buy, you know, maybe not a refrigerator, but, like, you know, small household items. Like, I want a stapler. Print yourself out a damn stapler. It will happen.
Okay, Star Trek technology coming to you soon. Samuel Minter prediction.
Really?
Record it.
The technology is improving rapidly.
I know. I have heard of that. I've still, you know, I know. Okay, we'll see if it'll take 20, 30 years. That's what I think I'm thinking. I don't know. I don't know if I see it further out, but I think, you know.
I think if anything, it'll happen sooner, actually.
Wow. Okay.
But it's all a question of what kind of devices you're talking about. It's like simple stuff for now. And before you have one in your house, it'll be like you go to Kinko's and you'll print something out because they're still really expensive. But, you know.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, that's a show. We went long again. We suck. Okay. Yeah, we've been over an hour for like 6 weeks now. Sorry, guys. That's it. That's Curmudgeon's Corner. Thank you for listening. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com with any questions, comments, thoughts. I haven't had any comments from listeners in a while. Come on, give us some thoughts. As usual, tell your friends to listen too and tune in next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.